It's 8:06 on this Monday morning, July 27th. Currently 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies, 76 degrees in Heber City. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, it's meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning.
Happy Monday, KPCW listeners. It's time for your forecast for the Wasatch back on this Monday. We are going to be dealing with a mixture of sun and clouds as a heat dome continues to be in place just to our east. That could bring us a slight chance for a pop-up isolated shower and storm or downpour during the afternoon hours. Not going to be widespread, but it is a chance. Temperatures otherwise will be the big story as we climb near 90 degrees in Park City. As we go throughout your Monday afternoon, temperatures will climb into the mid-90s fours in the Heber Valley. Making our way into your Tuesday, we'll call it a mixture of sun and clouds. Again, with that high pressure just to our east, we're going to have a chance of a pop-up storm or two developing during the afternoon hours. Overall, expect mainly just some clouds building up, but can't rule out that chance of a downpour again. Temperatures climbing to around 90 in Park City. We'll be in the mid-90s again for the Heber Valley. Going into your Wednesday, we'll have high pressure still pretty much in the same location. So pretty much a rinse and repeat forecast with that very slight chance of a pop-up storm or a downpour developing in the afternoon hours. Temperatures climbing to around 90 degrees for us on your Wednesday afternoon in Park City. We'll be in the mid-90s again in the Heber Valley. Now that high pressure begins to get on the move again heading into your Thursday. That's going to move closer to the area. That means overall somewhat drier air building into the area. We're going to be seeing those high temperatures climbing to around the lower 90s in Park City. We'll be seeing those highs climbing into the mid to upper 90s in the Heber Valley. Now, once we make our way into your Friday, that high pressure, that heat dome begins to get centered right over the Beehive State. That is going to bring us, once again, the core of the heat. So we'll be seeing those high temperatures jumping into the mid-90s in Park City. We'll have high temperatures around 100 degrees in the Heber Valley. And then for your weekend itself, get ready for the heat, folks. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 90s in Park City. We'll have high temperatures well above 100. We're talking 100 to 105 in the Heber Valley. Dry and hot is the story. Let's look at your latest forecast for the Wasatch back on ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Stay tuned. In a few minutes here, we'll be checking in with the director of Leadership Park City, Scott Van Hartesveld. He'll have details on how to apply for Class 33. He also has some survey results. Park City Women's Golf League's Kathy Higginson and Callaway Zuccarello have details on how to participate in the Rally for Cure's 30th anniversary tomorrow. And from the Timpanogos Valley Theater, Bettina Geis with details on the opening of Newsies Junior on Friday. Well, Park City Police say that 34-year-old Damon Enman of Salt Lake County has died after being stabbed in Lower Deer Valley Friday morning. Park City announced Saturday that officers had arrested a 38-year-old man, also of Salt Lake County, in his death. Park City Communications Director Clayton Scrivener said that the stabbing happened Friday morning at about 8:30 at a home on the 500 block of Deer Valley Drive. That's between the Marsac Roundabout and Deer Valley Resort. Park City officials said initially two people were injured and taken to Salt Lake City area hospitals. One of them, now identified as Enman, later died. The Park City property is listed as a short-term rental on Airbnb. Police say that there is no threat to the public after this isolated incident. Park City has appointed veteran police lieutenant Clint Johnson to serve as its emergency manager. Johnson will coordinate with the city's preparedness, response, recovery, and other operations related to emergencies that impact local residents and businesses. That includes working closely with city departments to enhance coordination before, during, and after a community emergency. He's also Park City's primary contact with state, federal, and local governments, as well as community organizations. In a press release, City Manager Adam Lenhart said, Johnson's years of law enforcement experience and collaborative leadership style make him well-suited for the job. He takes over the position from Dave Thacker, who's been temporarily serving in the role. Johnson says that he believes the emergency manager's role blends planning partnerships and public safety to make sure a city is prepared to navigate significant challenges. An 11-year veteran of Park City's Police Department, Johnson brings 23 years of public safety experience to his new role. He also has a bachelor's degree in emergency management from Utah Valley University. Well, the deadline to apply for Class 33 of Leadership Park City is coming up in a couple of weeks, and don't wait till the last minute. Well, it is a pretty simple application. It does take some thought. In the studio with details, I have the director of the program, Scott Van Hartesveld. Good morning.
Good morning. And yes, please don't wait until the last minute. I get to see these rolling in all throughout the entire application process, and in Park City fashion, people tend to wait for the last week or two, and we're questioning whether we're going to have a full application pool.
Yeah. Well, so people who have heard of Leadership Park City but don't really know what it is, maybe give us the elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch. Leadership Park City is a legacy program in Park City. It was started by Miles Radiman. We are on our 32nd year right now, so this is going to be class 33. The three pillars of the program are civic training, leadership training, and community connections. And over the course of a year, we build programming really deliberately that delivers against all three of those pillars. There's some, you know, fundamental strengths to the program and things that have been around for a long time, and some new programming that we try to bring in every year to reflect what's going on in the community. So, dynamic program. People meet, we meet once a month on Mondays from 3 to 9 p.m. We also have a couple of special programs, including City Tour, which is a five-day commitment that happens in May. The highlight of everybody's leadership year is City Tour, where they went, and the people that they roomed with, and the bus trip. It's quite a program.
So what are the key dates that prospective applicants need to know about?
We would, again, love to have you apply as soon as possible, but applications are due by August 21st. Last year we did something new that really worked out well. There was a lot of people who I think are curious about the program. They think they might want to be a part of the program, but they have questions. They want to hear directly from me, from Paige, from people who are connected. And so last year we held an open house. It was really well attended. And so we're going to do two this year. They're coming up next week. So August 3rd, which is Monday, from 5:30 to 6:30, and then August 8th. From 5:30 to 6:30, which I believe is Saturday. Both are going to be at the Park City Library in the community room upstairs. We'll spend about 30 minutes just kind of talking about the program in more detail and then answering any questions that people have.
Okay. Who's eligible to apply? I mean, is it limited to people in government or established community leaders?
No. You know, the thing I get to think about this program a lot, and I think one of the true strengths of it is that it brings people together from all over the community. We have people, you have to live and or work in Park City or Summit County. So that's really the only key point there. We had high school kids every year that participate in this. We have people who have been in this community for 50 years. We have people who work in government, who work in the private sector, who work in nonprofit. I think the common tie that binds them together is a commitment to the community and kind of an optimism for what they're looking for going forward. They want to be a part of what comes next in Park City.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I mean, are there any qualities that you look for in an applicant?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little travel weary. I've been on the road a lot this year. And the benefit of being on the road a lot is you get to come home a lot. And I get to think about what that means because you reflect when you come back and you're surrounded by community again. And, you know, even driving in today, you see the buildings and you see the developments that exist. But that's not what this community is. This community has always been built by kind-hearted dreamers, people who are optimistic about the future. They've dug in. They want to make this place their home. That's who we're looking for. We want to find people who, regardless of how they see the future in Park City, it's not a political program. We don't have a specific point of view, except that we want people who are really committed to this place.
Okay. I know you have expressed interest in expanding participation from Eastern Summit County. So why is that important for the program and the community?
It's such an important and dynamic part of our community in general. Summit County is not just Park City. It is not just Snyderville. And I think that oftentimes people in the Snyderville Basin don't take all of that into account as they're thinking about the totality of what it means to live here. We have rural parts of this community. We have parts of this community where, you know, being a local doesn't mean that you've been here for a decade or two. It means you've been here for a generation or two or more. And I think that just provides more of a holistic point of view on what Park City and Summit County is. So having those views represented in the program is really important to us.
You know, I guess I was surprised to hear the leaders, that's in, you know, air quotes here, from the eastern side saying they'd never even heard of the project. I mean, I don't know where they've been or what they've been doing, but to hear that, really surprised me. What efforts are you making then to let them know about it?
There's the Council of Governments, which I've come to know a little bit more about thanks to the mayor and thanks to Adam and others at City Council. And so we've reached out to the Council of Governments and the members across the Eastern, across the entire community, across Summit County in general. We also work really closely with Shane and Janet and Summit County, who are key stakeholders in the program. They're one of our key partners and legacy partners. And so they help me understand a little bit better some of the key people that we should be talking to on the East that can spread the word.
Okay, you've kind of walked us through the year a bit. I mean, the time commitment, once a month, Mondays, 3 to 9 p.m. We've got a five-day city tour. How much of that does somebody need to participate in?
All of it. This is, you know, I went to the Association of Leadership Programs, something that Miles knew about but had never attended before. So this is my second year attending, and it's leadership programs from across the country. There's 2,500 of these things across the country, which surprises people sometimes. There's about 150 programs that were represented there. And it's amazing to see how unique Park City is. And it all comes down to the level of commitment that this community has to the program and how interwoven it is into the fabric of this place. So other programs really struggle to get attendance. They allow, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 missed classes over the course of a year. Whereas for us, you know, we understand that life can get in the way sometimes. We ask people not to miss more than one class. We publish the schedule during the application process. So it is there, the entire year is laid out there for you. If you have conflicts, then maybe this isn't your year. But we ask that if you do apply, that you make a commitment to those dates.
Okay. What kind of topics do participants explore kind of during that monthly, the monthly sessions?
It's all over the place. One of the, we start in with an orientation, and my class project, class 29, one of the first things that we do is Let's Talk, which is civil discourse training. And it's such an interesting way to learn how to tackle difficult topics amongst one another while building relationships instead of destroying relationships. And that becomes really foundational. And it's practice. Everybody kind of gets to know each other in this really kind of dynamic way. That then leads into, we do a Clifton Strengths Finder program where everybody understands, it's kind of like a Myers-Briggs, except a little bit more, I would call it more robust and a little bit more positive. So everybody identifies out of 34 strengths, their top 5 strengths, and then by definition, how they need to work with others who have different strengths in order to form a team. From a government perspective, Local Government Day doesn't get talked about a lot, but what a gift it is to this community. We have people from Park City and Summit County, the key leaders in Park City and Summit County, all love to participate in this day and share what it means to be on council, what it means to be the mayor, to be in government, the things that they're working on, the challenges that they face, and really to kind of set the stage for people who might want to take that leap in the future.
All right. The program is free. However, not the 4 nights, 5 days on the road for the city tour, which is certainly one of the signature experiences of the program. Mm-hmm. So what do people need to know about that?
Yeah, again, going to Association of Leadership Programs, we are the only program that I found that is tuition free, which is remarkable. It's, again, a reflection of the commitment that this community has towards this, towards Leadership Park City. The city tour itself is, like you said, it's 4 days, 5 nights. The travel and group expenses generally add up to about $1,200, $1,100. It kind of depends on the destination. We don't know. I know you're going to ask. We don't know where we're going next year yet. But that is also kind of personal choice, how much you choose to go out at night, how much you choose to spend on a personal level. We also have financial assistance available for those who might need it.
Okay. And as you mentioned, Class 29 took on the Let's Talk programming. Every class completes a community project. Can you share maybe a few examples that you think have had a lasting impact on the community?
a lasting, the creme de la creme, so to speak, just because it's so ubiquitous in this community, is Summit Land Conservancy. That was started as Leadership Class 4. But sometimes it isn't even in the class projects. I was talking to Nan, Mayor Nan, a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how she roomed with Jane Patton. And on city tour, in her room, Jane sketched out what ultimately became the Peace House campus. Mm. You think about doing something and being constructive in this community, saying we're not going to allow this to exist in a way that it does in our community now, and being constructive about it and building something that is, you know, regionally significant as a domestic violence location. It just those stories exist over and over. And I would say the last two projects, the projects that have been in classes that I've been involved with, both really amazing. The Belonging Benches last year and this year, the Summit County Mural Project, both I think are gonna have a long and lasting legacy in the community.
So beyond networking, I guess, how does the program help people become more effective leaders?
You know, I think that there's a lot that goes into that. We really try to focus on the three pillars: the civic training, the leadership training, and the community connections. We did a survey last year. I wanted to get some data points on how class members themselves reflected on whether they improved and what their experience was in the class. And I was really thrilled with the outcome. So we asked them to rate their comfort level before class started and then at the end of class. And so leadership and public speaking was at 53% before and 100% comfort level afterwards. Sense of belonging, 34%, rated as a 34% beforehand and 88% afterwards. That to me is just this massive improvement. And then, you know, the program started as a way to build an understanding of local government and to understand kind of how this place works. It's complicated, right? We have so many different components of civic life here that it can be really difficult to kind of map it out and to understand how to get things done. Local government understanding started at a 19% and ended at a 94%. I saw that and just said, this is we are meeting our mission as reflected in these numbers.
Okay, let's see. What do you say to employers about perhaps supporting an employee who wants to participate?
I think that they should be able to attend all classes without taking any time off. Obviously, that's not that is up to each individual employer, but I'm going to put that plug in for those who might be considering taking this. You know, I think that employers who want to be a part of this community, who are a part of this community, will gain so much benefit from having team members who have gone through this program. This program, at its core, builds relationships, right? Like that, Miles always talked about this, that if we do nothing else, if we have 35 people who build relationships with one another, such that over the course of the rest of their time in Park City, they can work together and find themselves in points of collaboration, the program is successful. Now think about that from an employer point of view. Like it gives that employer so many connection points within the community that they can leverage in their own way. So I think it's a no-brainer for any employee in the community.
So I know you're an honorary member of Class 28. Have you seen any cohesiveness like this in future classes?
Class 28 is a unicorn. There's no question about it. When you say I'm an honorary member, I was inducted by being included in the WhatsApp group communication for Class 28. And it, to this day, I mean, you guys are communicating. It feels like daily there is stuff going back and forth about events that are happening in town, collaborating on things together, finding yourself at Offset on a random Friday afternoon. It just, I think that Class 28 really sets the tone there. And I will say that Class 31 and Class 32 both have really bonded. And I see them out and about together in the community all the time.
Okay, for somebody kind of on the fence here, what makes for a strong application? What are the selection committee members looking for?
Yeah, just real quick, just so While I love people asking me to get them into class, I do not select class. That was something that Miles, very, very smart man, established. So it's a selection committee. We'll usually have close to 30 plus people who participate in the selection process. So they're all alumni, and I will tell you this, they're probably slightly impressed with your professional accomplishments. They are more impressed with the way in which you demonstrate that you want to be a constructive member of this community, that you've taken steps to be a constructive member of this community. We find that the leadership applicants who are like, hey, I want to get involved, and so I want to take leadership, get involved, and then apply for leadership.
Okay. And you've now had time to put your own stamp on Leadership Park City. Have you made, what changes have you made to the program, if any?
I have to be really careful because the program existed for 30 years and was, you know, lightning in a bottle. I often talk about the fact that there's probably 10,000 decisions that Miles made that made leadership successful. And not having been there for all of them, it's hard to know what made it taste good, what made the mix successful. And I really need to be reflective of who I am and my leadership role. So I love leadership. I love people development. I'm a very, very curious person. I think that we lead with curiosity and with positivity.
Okay. Scott, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I really appreciate the time and KPCW.
Yep. August 22nd is the deadline. But
August 21st.
21st. Okay. But do it today.
But do it today, please.
All right. Scott Van Hartesveldt is the executive director of Leadership Park City. Well, the shrinking Great Salt Lake could affect everything from Utah's health to the length of the ski season. KPCW's Ulibert Libre reports a new Park City chapter of Grow the Flow is working to raise awareness about the lake's decline here in the Wasatch Back.
Grow the Flow launched its Greater Park City chapter July 22nd. About 40 people came to the Park City Library to learn how to get involved. BYU ecology professor Ben Abbott founded the nonprofit in 2022 with the goal of funneling more water into the Great Salt Lake. It has since opened chapters across the state. Local chapter co-chair Kathy Van Dyke says the decline is not just a Salt Lake Valley problem. She says it is different from shrinking saline lakes around the world because of the millions of people living downwind.
When you understand where this leads, the Great Salt Lake being one of about 120 saline lakes in the world, most of them are in decline and none has ever been saved. We must be the first.
Without intervention, Van Dyke says the dust from the lake bed could pose serious health risks to residents. She says it is contaminated from a century of mining. Van Dyke says the disappearing water also puts Utah's famous lake effect snow at risk, impacting the ski industry.
Probably 10 to 15% of our snowfall is because of the lake. And not only that, if the dust storms increase, and that's already happened to a degree, you get dust that settles on the snow. So the length of this ski season has changed simply because snow melts faster because the dust is darker.
She says Utahns would need to reduce water use by 30% to give the lake a 50-50 chance of recovery. Van Dyke says one of the simplest places to start is at home.
Water less. As they say, gold is the new green. Let your lawn be golden instead of green.
The Greater Park City Grow the Flow chapter will meet again August 24th in the Park City Library Community Room. Ulibert Libre, KPCW News.
This year marks the 30th annual Rally for a Cure. In the studio with how the fundraiser got started and how to participate, I have organizers from Park City's 9-hole Women's League, Kathy Higginson, along with Callaway Zuccarello. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Kathy, you want to start and just tell us what the Rally for a Cause is and how the fundraiser got started?
You know, it started, obviously, 30 years ago, and it was very, very small at the very beginning. We have since expanded and started raising much larger funds than we began with when the rally first started. And I believe it was just out of need because so many people knew so many people that had had breast cancer or were themselves personally affected. But yeah, there's definitely a need in the community to take care of the underserved, the people that don't have insurance, making sure that they can get mammograms and screenings whenever they need. And then to take care of people through Imagery Born, through retreats that help physically as well as mentally. And then obviously through research with Huntsman Cancer Institute.
Okay, as I recall, it was Cynthia Williams. She was a golf pro at Park City Municipal.
Cynthia Brown.
Thank you. Yeah. And I don't know if she's involved in this anymore.
She actually is the head of Playing for Life, which is the nonprofit that we route our funds through. Since we're a city course, we can't be a nonprofit. So we route all the funds through Playing for Life so that anybody who donates can also have a tax write-off.
Okay. So, Calloway, maybe you can talk a little bit about how the fundraiser has grown over the years, both in participation and the amount of money raised.
Well, I think the one thing that makes our rally pretty different from most golf course tournaments is the golf course tournaments that have been in the past, and the way the rally started was it was just the league members who were involved. And it was money raised just by league members playing golf. Whereas our rally today has evolved into an event where anybody can participate, whether they're a golfer or not. So sure, our league members play that day and they make huge contributions, but anybody in the community can swing by and participate in a few things, but mainly our opportunity to draw. So we have baskets full of beautiful things, spa packages, dining packages in some of your favorite places like Matilda's and Five Seeds and the Lodge at Blue Sky. But we also have opportunity baskets for golf rounds at some of the best courses in Utah. Some of them you can't get to unless you're a member, like Park Meadows Country Club, or we have Copper Rock in St. George. And we have Promontory. So our rally has really evolved from something more focused on the league to something more within the whole community.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that drawing then. You've got tickets, basically?
Yeah, so anybody can come by. The tickets for the golf courses and rounds, which we have like 8 or 9, I didn't mention all of them, but they're $25 a piece, or 5 for $20. Or you can buy opportunities to for the other baskets, like the spa baskets, the pet baskets, and they're all big and beautiful, put together by our members, and those are $5 a piece. So you could walk away with some pretty beautiful things by the end of the day.
Okay, so people will see that if they show up tomorrow, starting when?
Yes, so tomorrow starting at 7:30 a.m., everything will be out. Some of it's in the pro shop, things that are can't be under the sun, like chocolates and liquor and things like that. And the other things will be outside the pro shop. So for people who do swing by, definitely go in the pro shop as well. We have many women there volunteering, league members and non-league members who want to support the cause.
All right. And for those who are interested, they have until when tomorrow to...
I think we'll probably pull... the opportunity draws around 5:30.
Yep. 5:30 or 6, yeah.
5:30 or 6.
Okay, so they do need a trip to the pro shop, or is there something online that they can do if they can't make it?
Well, for the opportunity draw, they do need to come by or know somebody who will come by for them. We do have a website. This is the first year we've had a website, parkcityrally.com, if people want to just make a donation. So, but if you want to be in the opportunity draw, you either need to swing by or call one of us or email one of us, and we'll buy the tickets for you.
All right. How much are you hoping to raise?
Well, last year we raised $22,000, which was about, and this year we're targeting $25,000, which is about 5 times what we raised 5 years ago.
Wow, very impressive. And again, the money goes through this organization and then kind of spread out where it's needed?
Yes, and again, it's the rally started as more giving to national organizations, and now we're focused on more local. So as Kathy said, Huntsman Cancer Institute, Image Reborn, and People's Health Clinic.
Yeah. So, Kathy, the Park City Women's Nine-Hole Golf League has become one of the, I think, largest in the state. How many members do you have?
We have 375 members currently.
Wow. What do you think's made the league so successful?
You know, at least the nine-holers, we just have a fun time. There are competitions, but they're not necessarily very serious competitions. We're just out there to have fun, and you do. If you happen to have a lucky day, then you do get paid.
Okay. Are there openings though for membership if somebody's interested?
Well, we wish there were, but with 375 members, there's only so many tee times during the day, so we have to cap it at some point. And so, if you're in 84060, you can still join, but you have to sign up early. We tell everybody sign up in March, and now people sign up in March knowing that if they want a spot, they've got to sign up early.
Okay, so that's usually when it happens because you're about halfway through the season as it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And what you have the 18-hole league, a little bit more serious. They start first in the morning. Is that how it works?
Right. Yeah. The 18-holers start probably around 7:30, and then we pick up. They'll send nine-holers out after the 18-holers, and they also let the nine-holers start on the back nine before the 18-holers make the round.
Nice. Okay, so beyond golf, what kind of community do you think the nine-hole league has created?
Well, Kathy's been doing this longer than I have, but I would say that the friendships that have been built through the league are extremely powerful. And events like Rally for a Cause brings people together even more. Like today at 4, about 25 women are going to show up at the pro shop and put these baskets together. And then tomorrow at the rally, everybody's going to be hanging around, dressed in pink, dressing up their golf carts. There's just a strong spirit, and people are very welcoming and open to new people. We always have new people joining the league every year, and within, you know, a month, they feel like they're part of a organization that where they'll have friends for decades.
Okay, so will people who have played earlier, will they stick around for the kind of the activities after?
A lot of them stick around. We also, whenever we sell an opportunity drawing ticket, they have their name and phone number on their ticket, so we'll call them toward the end of the evening if they've won something, and they can leave and go home and come back and swing by and get their prize if that's the case. We also have lots of opportunity now for your listening public to perhaps, if they have something they think they would like to donate, we will build the baskets today at 4, but if they want to drop anything off at the pro shop, at the Park City Pro Shop, then they're certainly welcome to do that.
Okay. So 30 years is quite a milestone. I mean, I guess what does it mean to you to reach this milestone?
I think the bigger the league has gotten, the fact that 1 in 8 women will experience breast cancer, that many more people have been involved. We are so concerned with how many people this truly affects, you know, wives and sisters and husbands, or once in a while a husband, but all of us know somebody who has had breast cancer or who has passed from breast cancer. And I just think the more people that get involved, it just spreads, just because we've grown pretty much exponentially in the last 5 years, from about $5,000 to hopefully this year $25,000 to be donated to Playing for Life, which does the Huntsman and Image Reborn and the People's Health Clinic.
Okay, and for you, Callaway, any thoughts about that?
Well, the 1 in 8 number is pretty astounding. And, you know, when we talk to our board members, the number, that's 1 in 8 of us have gotten breast cancer within the board. We believe that's true within our league as well. And it's something that we want to make sure these people, I mean, we're so likely to be affected, that our friends and mothers and sisters can find a cure and be treated and get the support they need after they've been treated.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
And we appreciate you having us on to talk about our rally.
We hope the public will come by. It's a lot of fun. Bring your friends. It's a really festive atmosphere. It's very positive, and we just hope, you know, the community will stop by.
Okay, Callaway Zuccarello and Kathy Higginson, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Well, for one weekend only, Timpanogos Valley Theater presents the youth theater production of Newsies Junior. On the phone with details, I have the theater's marketing manager, Bettina Geis. Good morning, Bettina.
Good morning, Leslie. So nice to speak with you today.
Yeah, you too. So for people who know the Broadway musical or the Disney film, what's the production, this production, all about?
The idea is that it is a cast of about 65 that will be practiced for 9 days, just boom, 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 and they put on the show. And so that's kind of a unique situation on that. So the kids are 12 to 18 years old. And we did two casts of this because it's really popular. So 2 weeks ago, we did cast A, and we had quite a few kids in that that had never done it before. And this one, we only had one. So there's kids that have, you know, gone up to the theater. But the idea is it's a 9-day boot camp, and on it goes. And we have youth that have come up that are now mentors and helping with choreography and music and staging, that kind of thing.
So how is the junior version different than, say, the full Broadway production? Is it shorter? I mean, are there changes to the story?
The story's the same. It's slightly shorter, so like some of the songs will be shorter. I haven't looked at this one that closely. Some of them I do look at. They either will slightly adapt it so that, again, a little shorter. Some of the songs, some of the things might be taken out just a touch. This one, the story is all there that you need to know. The great dance scenes with cartwheels and backflips and all that is there. It's all there.
Okay. And basically the story is about the 1899 Newsboys strike. I guess, why do you think the story continues to resonate today, even though it's based on, you know, something that happened more than 100 years ago?
Yeah, and you kind of think, do some people think newspapers are important or that type of a thing? But I think people, and number one, that it was people working together could make a change. Kids in particular to this story, I'm a school teacher, so we talk about that a lot. Kids can still go to their town boards and either get a park designed or get a skateboard park put in or something. You know, kids can still make a difference. Groups of people can still make a difference. The guests that you just had on, people still want to rally around something that's important to them, right? So I think the cause might be not something that a certain audience today might relate to, but the idea that you can get together with other people and your voice combines. But especially in this instance, that it was kids, it spread out to other things besides newspaper. It was, factories and workhouses and sewing places and things. It spread to other things. So I think if you look at the history of it a little bit, that's the part why it resonates. It's still applicable to today's world. We want to make a difference with other people, you know, and work together.
Yeah.
Make the world better.
As you mentioned, it's a cast of 65, all 12 to 18-year-olds. What kind of experience do these young actors have? I mean, are they seasoned performers or first-timers? Or?
In this one, we have a lot that have been in quite a few shows. Logan Whittier has been in shows in TVT and other theaters around town. The one who plays Catherine, she is in just about to get to college and is working on voice. She just performed in the Heber Sunday we have a free concert series on Sunday nights at 7, and she just performed there. So it's people that want to get another stage presence, another chance to act. But yeah, they're doing other things. I mean, we've got some people from our theater that have been in Hale, been down in Salt Lake. We are a great springboard for a lot of that thing. You know, and we love hearing about things that are going on in Park City, too. A lot of us go over to the Egyptian. We go over to see things over there. This is not that far of a drive. And I do want to send out one quick thank you to your show. I love listening to it. I think it's a great thing, and we're Roger. And for 1776, we just came off of that. I just really want to say thank you. I will often ask people, how did you hear about our show? And I had several groups that said, we listened to KPCW, and we came over to see 1776. I just wanted to give a huge shout-out to anybody that's still listening that was there that day. Or
okay, well, appreciate that. So who's directing the show?
This is Roy Buttermore. And other people that are in charge of certain things, different. I don't have the name right in front of me, but Roy Buttermer is the director of this one. Sarah Ray is our youth theater director. So she has an oversight over everything, but he is in charge of this one.
And how old is Roy?
He is, I'm trying to think, 20-ish.
Is he a youth or is he
a college kid? He started out with us with The Girl in the Yellow Dress. He was just in Addams Family. He's been in quite a few things with us as people come to our theaters. But again, his goal is he's going up to an adult world.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess a cast this large has got to be confusing as heck.
No. I was so surprised because I had the same idea. I saw the last show like 3 different times, probably, or 4 times, actually. I saw them all. But if you sit slightly in a on an angle, even if the show is crowded or you think, you still have that window into certain kids, and you watch them, and they're acting like they are on front row. And I gave Roy a huge compliment about that, actually. I said, I sat in different places. You might think a kid would be like, oh, I'm not in the front row. No one sees me, right? No, on the slight angles, you are being seen. Your actions, your surprise, their, you know, all of it. And the choreography is done so well. There's lots of bending down, lots of things in the aisles. The news people come down to the aisles, you know, and as they're really trying to get the whole idea of going about the strike. Yeah, they're coming from the back. They're in the aisles. They're coming from the sides. They're on different levels. We do have risers now. And so really there's lots of, towards the back, so there's lots of good seats in the house. And they did a good job.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm thinking that it is just Friday and Saturday nights. That's it?
Yeah, Friday at 4, Saturday at 7. I mean, Friday at 4 and 7, Saturday at 2 and 7. Again, the idea of this is that people are using this show to plan around family vacations. And so it's not like it's extended. It's like, no, we could block off these 2 weeks. We will perform, we will practice and perform, and then we could leave for vacation. See what I'm saying? So it's done with that purpose, really, to tie around the family schedules that they could bite something off in the summer.
Okay, but again,
just
August 31st, or I should say July 31st and August 1st. Those are the 2 days for performances.
Correct. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, and then we have, you know, coming up, we have auditions. If anybody wants to do Broadway Under the Stars, it's kind of a fun note. And then War of the Worlds will be a radio show, and we have auditions for that. And in today's world, I'd say just go to our website, Tip Valley Theater, tipvalleytheater.com. Is, you know, in the today's world, we do that. Or you go on Facebook versus giving a lot of dates and times. But this one is just four shows. Uh-huh.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how much tickets are and where people can get them online.
Online is the best. That way we know you're coming, and you can just walk up and pick up your tickets. And I think these ones will get close to sold out, I would imagine. TempValleyTheater.com. You can click on there and buy your tickets. Whatever's available, we'll just out the door. We're at 90 North, 100 West in Heber City. We're just one block west of Main Street. Some people know where that red building is, kind of a red brick building, the old tabernacle. We're one block west of there. But there's good signage out front. People are getting the idea where the theater is. But $10 for kids, $12 for adults. Premium seats put you on the first two rows, and those are 16. And those you can reserve. So the premium seats, you can pick out a seat, and you know what you have, so you don't have to get there early. You have a reserved seat. The others are first come, first serve. So the doors open half an hour before the show starts, and it is first come, first. So if you have a preference, you need to get there on time. But it usually works out that everybody gets to sit pretty close to where they want.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
I did my thank you. We do have AC in case people haven't been there in a few years. We do have air conditioning now. And we do have a car show on this Saturday, August 1st, in the park. We were approached by a guy that does car shows. And so any money we raise at this car show will go towards us to buy. We bought a lot of new chairs for the front half, but we want new chairs for the risers to make it even better for people. So, again, and we do have a comedy improv troupe. They perform. It kind of varies. Usually the third Saturday of the month. Very family friendly. A lot of audience participation, and that's a hoot too. So there's a lot of things going on at Timpanogos Valley Theater that's community based. We love audience members, and we love people on stage. And again, if you have other interests that you want to come try out, come, you know, see what we have. We could, you know, sewing or sets. Anyway, we really appreciate KPCW. Thank you, Leslie.
You bet. Thank you, Bettina. Bettina Geis again with Timpanogos Valley Theater. The company that put $30 million into an unfinished condominium building in Canyons Village has purchased the property after the developer defaulted on the loan. KPCW's Connor Thomas has this update at The Ascent, Park City.
The 120-unit condominium development, owned by Wolfgram Capital, has sat unfinished for years in the Frostwood Village area of Canyons Village at Park City Mountain. Akoa Capital bought the Ascent Park City at auction Wednesday. The company says in Summit County records that Wolfgram defaulted on a $30 million loan last October. The records also show Akoa credited $24 million in outstanding debt toward the purchase, not additional cash. It's unclear if there were other bids. The Park City-based private credit group is working on plans to complete the Ascent, says partner Jason Meyer. He adds that Akoa is evaluating the cost as well as options for people to recover their money. Akoa was named in a July 15th lawsuit brought by seven people who put thousands of dollars down as deposits on condos to block the auction. They allege Wolfgram began having issues with the Ascent project as early as 2021. Third District Judge Patricia Kundig allowed the sale, and the lawsuit remains pending as of July 24th. ACOA and Wolfgram's subsidiaries, which are also named, have not responded in court. The plaintiffs want the court to find that they have an interest in the ascent despite not having closed on their units. Wolfgram, a Texas-based private equity firm, also faces several other lawsuits from contractors. The Salt Lake Tribune reports their claims total up to $14 million. Summit County says Wolfgram subsidiaries didn't pay tens of thousands in property taxes last year, including on units at the Ascent and Waldorf Astoria directly across the street. Wolfgram was founded in 2021, the same year that the Canyons Village Management Association says the Ascent broke ground. In 2022, it purchased the Waldorf Astoria Hotel for an undisclosed sum. At the time, Wolfgram promised to infuse $60 million in improvements into the property. The hotel remains in operation, but will lose its luxury Hilton branding next year. Real estate agent Wayne Levinson, who sells properties at the Waldorf, said in a February news release the hotel would most likely adopt different upscale branding sometime after April 2027. In 2028, a new Waldorf Astoria is slated to open at Deer Valley Resort's new East Village base, also home to a Four Seasons and a Grand Hyatt. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
And across Wasatch County, locals commemorated the 1847 arrival of Latter-day Saints in the Utah Territory with parades, picnics, and stories from the past. KPCW's Grace Dorfel reports from this year's Pioneer Day festivities.
With sack races, trout fishing, and hot air balloon rides, Wasatch County families turned out in force for Pioneer Day. In Charleston, locals and visitors alike spent the holiday listening to live music, browsing local vendors' stands, and admiring an antique car show. Peggy McKenzie is a lifelong Charleston resident. She's been a quilter for two decades, and this year she made a patriotic-themed quilt for the town auction.
The committee came to me first and said, Are you going to make a quilt for the auction I did last year? Mm-hmm. And she said, if you are, we'd really like it to be the 250 year. So I seen that panel at a fabric store and I just thought that'll work out good.
She spent hours creating a quilt that depicts the founders signing the Declaration of Independence. Lehigh local Mandy Kitchen and her dad, Don Hoosier, showed off a gleaming green Buick. The car is from 1926, the same year Kitchen's grandmother was born.
Everything we did ourselves. We put the windows in. It took my dad an entire summer. My dad restored all the wheels. It took him a week a wheel to get done.
Hoosier says restoring the car took 19 years.
We call her Miss Marie after my mom. It's just been a great project, and it's been fun working with the family on it and doing it all.
Charleston celebration included plenty of games for children and a laser light show instead of fireworks. In Wallsburg, families lined Main Street for the annual parade. A wagon labeled Mormon Trail 1847 rolled by, and horses clopped past with hooves painted red, white, and blue. Heber resident Lizzie Powell brought her young children to enjoy the festivities. The family moved to Utah from Arizona, which inspired Powell to get in touch with her roots.
On my father's mom's side, so my grandma's side, there's a lot of pioneers that came in. And so we're going to go home after this and go learn about them.
In Heber City, the Daughters of the Utah Pioneers marked the holiday by displaying a restored 1896 flag. It flew over the Heber Tabernacle the day Utah became a state. Latter-day Saint Pioneers arrived in the Salt Lake Valley on July 24, 1847. It was another decade before pioneers began making settlements in the Heber Valley. Grace Dorfler, KPCW News.
Well, a Park City Music Festival is taking a healing approach to the industry. KPCW's Ula Britt Leiberry reports on its efforts to pair live performances with conversations about mental health, recovery, and building a lasting career.
Song Summit will bring music, film, food, and mindfulness to Park City August 27th through 29th. Guests can see artists including Jim James of My Morning Jacket, eat food prepared by celebrity chefs, and take yoga classes at Library Field. This year's festival also expands Summit Rising, a Song Summit Foundation mentorship program that pairs emerging musicians with established artists. Summit Rising program manager Ford Huntington says the goal is to help young musicians navigate show business.
There's kind of a big bridge from starting to play music and starting to work in the industry to actually having a sustainable career.
Huntington says the program builds on the festival's focus,
healing, and substance use recovery.
Substance is so prevalent in the music industry in general. Like, it's probably one of the only industries in which it's, like, totally okay to just be on, like, be drinking on the job. Interacting with all these substances, it's not some huge taboo, and I think that lack of a line really can make it easy for people to kind of go off the end.
Along with songwriting workshops and performances, the 10 participants will meet with experienced artists to discuss career longevity, recovery, and wellness. Paige Anderson, Song Summit Foundation co-founder and interim executive director, says she has seen the organization make a lasting impact on the community.
We hear constantly, this has really helped me in my wellness journey, or I got sober because of what you're doing.
The Song Summit has events across Park City from August 27th through 29th. Tickets and more information are available at kpcw.org. Ula Britt Libre, KPCW News.